people talk about other additions. They never say, like, oh, are you still doing heroin? You want to shoot up? They never say that. But for some reason, sports betting is like, it's different. Nothing can satisfy me anymore. If I hit a big bet, I'm like, great, I can use this as an advance towards the next big bet. Nothing can make me happy anymore. It's like too much greed in my life right now. I just want to check the scores. I don't even enjoy watching the games anymore. When I was a kid, like, watching sports with everything was awesome. But now I'm like, I don't want to watch it. I just want to check the outcome later.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the One Day at a Time podcast. Today's guest is Cole P. He's 24 years old from the Boston area. He works in finance, and he's struggling with sports betting at this point. We're going to be talking about what's happened and what to do in the future to get better and leave sports betting in the past if he's looking to go that direction. Cole, how you doing today?
I'm good. How you doing today, Rob?
Doing great, man. I think we should just jump into it. What got you started with gambling, or, you know, specifically with sports betting?
So obviously, first off, thank you so much for having me on the show. This is really cool. So I started right around the end of high school, the beginning of college, about 6-7 years ago, and my friend took me to a casino, and he's like, oh, there's sports betting, let's try it. I was like, oh, you know, this can't hurt. I'm a very competitive person, so I think I can beat the system. So I'll look at a team, I'll be like, oh, they should definitely win, and if not, they should definitely cover. And it's just been a long string of those where it's like, if I don't get it this time, I'll get it the next. Eventually, teams do, and you find out a team's not due. They can just be bad, and you keep betting on them, and there comes a point where it's like, I need to relax, I need to stop. And lately, it's been a problem for me. I haven't been able to stop. I just keep doubling down. And at some point, I'm 24 right now, but I got to get it under control eventually.
So when you were starting, I guess then if you were at a casino, you were probably like 21?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple spots where you don't have to really be. They don't check IDs.
So you were going even younger then. Well, and again, like, I was doing it too. I started gambling when I was 18.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah.
By no means am I throwing you under the bus here. But realistically, so the gambling started pretty young. You started with friends. How did it feel at first? Like, what were you getting out of it in the beginning?
Oh, it was such a dopamine rush. It was like, because you watch a game a certain way for 18 years, you're like, oh, I just like this team because I like the color scheme they wear. You like a certain player. But now it's like, I got cash on this team. I'm so much more invested into this game. This is awesome.
And were you in, like, college at this point?
Yeah. So, like, a couple of my buddies, like, we all picked the same team. We were all watching it together, rooting. And it was, when we won together, and it was awesome. When we lost, we usually lost together, which is very sad. It's a low point when you lose.
Were the people that you were gambling with people that you had just met at college, and it was, like, a way to kind of socialize with them? Or were these friends that
exactly,
you knew?
Yeah. Okay. It was a way to socialize. And even now, like, I'll meet new people, and they're like, oh, you see the game last night? You have money on the game, and it's like so socialized. It's crazy because when people talk about other additions, they never say, like, oh, are you still doing heroin? You want to shoot up? They never say that. But for some reason, sports betting is like, it's different.
We're going to get to the point at which you realize now that it has become a problem. But before we get there, I want to, like, really make it clear to people that this thing can start out as something really fun. It can start out as something, like, really enjoyable with your friends, a good way to socialize. At what point did you notice that it stopped feeling like that? Was it right away that you were gambling more than these other guys, or were you guys all kind of gambling the same amounts?
I definitely went at a faster pace than them. I realized about a year later when they were throwing like $20 on a game, I was like $250 in college, which is, it's a lot of money for a college student. And that's when I realized, like, I'm more invested in this. I'm not betting just for fun anymore. Like, this is to beat the system.
And then when you were at college, were you, like, working a job as well?
Yeah. I was a mover on the side, so, like, any tips I made, I was like, oh, I can put a little towards this.
And it was all just seen as, like, entertainment, or was it seen as, like, because you haven't described it as, like, being about the money yet. Was it about the making the games more fun, or was it kind of about the money?
It wasn't even about the money. It was like, I'm a competitive person. It was just, I needed to win at something.
Were you an athlete?
I was an athlete in high school.
What did you play?
I played football and lacrosse.
Played football and lacrosse. So not in college?
Not in college, no.
Do you feel like maybe you felt like you had more free time because you weren't going to practices and stuff?
Absolutely, yeah.
I feel that too, because in high school I was playing soccer and tennis. And then when I went to college, I was, like, at best, like, a bench player on the intramural basketball team.
I was
not very good.
You got no practice times. You got so much time. His classes take up a certain amount, but you have a decent amount of free time. I got stuff to do. And then I found myself betting in class, and I was like, this is a problem. Because it wasn't like normal games I was betting on. It was like Russian hockey at 1:30, like $250 hands. And I'm like, oh, this could go south.
You're like sitting in the back of the classroom then, you had the computer open, you were gambling on the computer?
Yep.
And I asked this because I did the same thing and I just want to hear your answer. Did you learn anything in the classes?
No, never.
But I feel that. Was anyone around you like ever questioning what you were doing?
The weird thing is they questioned it, but they thought it was funny. They were never like, oh, you should get help. Like this is a bad trend. This could go poorly. They were like, oh, that's awesome. How much you have? You should go more next time.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like that weird enabling behavior because it's an addiction. Like no one should be enabling an addiction.
All right. So at this point that you're describing the story, we're at like 19, 20 years old, freshman, sophomore in college. When do things really start to pick up? Because you're talking about some pretty big bets early on and even going into probably junior year of college. But you said go.
Definitely about current day to a year ago when I started making some decent money. I was like, oh, you know, I got some decent money. I live at home. Like, I only have, like, a couple bills to pay for. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, 12 o'clock. And it was, like, Grand Canyon University was on. And I was throwing $750 on them. And I was like, this is, like, borderline D2 college basketball game. I'm betting almost $1,000 on. What is going on?
What do you, you say you do finance work now. Is that like long hours?
8 to 6, Monday through Friday.
Okay. Things are really picking up and you're noticing that the bets are getting larger. You're seeing that you're spending a lot more time gambling. At this point, does anyone know what's going on? Have people said like, hey, maybe you're gambling too much? Or is this something that's like something to brag about almost?
A decent amount of people know. My mom's like, hey, you got to relax. We got to get you some help. I'm like, you know, after the Super Bowl, I really want to try to beat it on my own because I want to see, like, I've never really tried to stop, if that makes sense, because I've never really had a reason to.
I understand that, especially because, like, when you said, yeah, I'm living at home, I don't have any dependents, I don't have any expenses, it's like, I went through the same thing and all my money went into gambling. And I know that in that situation, like, very few people will feel sorry for you if you lose your money because exactly. They're like, your decision, that's kind of how it's seen. But I did that, and that time period is when the addiction built up for me. And eventually it got to a point where I was losing more than just money. And it got to its worst point because of the fact that I could gamble every day without worrying about the consequences.
Nothing can satisfy me anymore. If I hit a big bet, I'm like, great, I can use this as an advance towards the next big bet. It's like nothing can make me happy anymore. It's like too much greed in my life right now.
In the beginning, do you feel like when you would have a win, you would spend it on something that wasn't gambling?
Yeah, like definitely the first year, it was like if I won this, it was like, oh, I'll pay this for a book that I need for class. I'll buy a pizza for the room. And like if it was a $20 bet and I won like $40 or $50, I was hyped. Like I can use this money for something awesome. But now I'll win like $4,500 on a parlay and I'm like, awesome. It's like it doesn't matter to me. And it's like those numbers at my level, like at my age, like that's too much.
If your gambling has started to feel less like fun and more like stress, trust me, you're not alone. Millions of us know what it's like to say, just one more bet, or feel that urge that's really difficult to explain. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Evive, a sponsor of today's video. Think of it as having a recovery companion right in your pocket, someone who actually understands what you're going through. No lectures, no pressure, just practical tools and genuine support when those challenging moments hit. Download Evive now and you'll get guaranteed free access through 2026. Not a trial or a limited version, but the complete platform, completely free. Because Evive believes that everyone deserves access to support that works for them. Download Evive today and take the first step towards changing your relationship to gambling. Evive is only available in select countries. The thing to me, it was like when I would lose, I would feel disappointed in myself, like I had made a mistake, like I had chosen incorrectly. But when I would win, I didn't feel good about it because that's what was supposed to happen in my head.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. No one's ever got that.
Yeah. And when you get into that mindset, now all of a sudden, winning doesn't matter. Well, winning matters to the extent that it allows you to keep gambling, but it doesn't matter in the sense of like, I feel like I've accomplished something anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't bring you joy. It's business as usual if your team wins. But if you lose, it's like, I'm an idiot. I messed up. What's wrong with me? I got to get back on the horse and pick the right team.
Now, a lot of times when I ask these kinds of questions, I know the answer, but I'm asking it for the sake of an audience member that maybe doesn't understand addiction. But when you would have these losses, especially recently, why did they not convince you to stop gambling? Why did you keep going after that?
I guess because there's light at the end of the tunnel. there's more games tomorrow. I'll pick the next one. I can't be satisfied with a loss. Like, I'll have to double down until I get a win. And that's, listen, Vegas looks like Vegas for a reason. Like, they're winners. Like, you can't beat the system.
That's what I've been saying on TikTok, and then they tell me that I'm a bad gambler. So I'm glad someone else is saying it. Now we're at present day. You've been going through the ups and downs of gambling for about 6 years, very similar to the timeline that I had. As I'm about to be 26, you're 24. I'm about 2 years off of gambling. It's almost exactly the same timeline. You'd mentioned to me before the call something that raised a lot of alarm bells, and it's one of the things that kept me gambling for way too long. How do you feel about your ability to control yourself when we're talking about table games in the casino?
Table games I'm okay with. Like, I can treat that like a night out. Like, I'll take 200 out because it's usually at a casino and there's food. Like, I'll take 200 for food, 200 for games. Like, and if I lose, I'm like, oh, it was just a night out. Like, I don't need to make that money back. But sports betting, because, like, I was an athlete in the past, I'm like, I should be able to pick this. I'm going to pick it right.
Now, the only reason that it raises alarm bells is because I have to ask, what do you think it would be like for you if you weren't betting on sports anymore but told yourself you could keep going to the table game? Do you think that it would stay the same, or do you think that it would shift then?
That's a great question. I want to say I'd have the willpower to just treat it like a casual night out, but I'm not too sure. But because the thing is, like, sports, I mean, FanDuel and DraftKings, like, they don't have the casino app available in Boston, Massachusetts. So it's like, I wouldn't have the opportunity, but sports betting, it's so easy. You just click a button and the money's in, you can pick all the teams you want.
I went through something similar where I had the opposite. I thought that I could control myself in sports betting, but not in casinos. And when I went and I lived in Australia for a couple of months when I was in college, and they have a terrible gambling culture. It's like everywhere there. What I found was I was drawn to the games that I had the most access to. So what you just said, yeah. You're drawn to sports betting because you can do it on your phone. If the casinos were on your phone, it could be a different story, because when I was there, I would go to the casinos way more than I would sports bet, because I was actually closer to the casino than I was to a sports book. And so I spent way more time playing craps and blackjack than I did betting sports when I was there. But I thought that I liked sports betting more, right? Like, it was this thought. And then I just came to find out, whatever's in front of me, I'm going to be irresponsible with it. That was pretty much my reality. Like, you've reached this point with the sports betting that you're saying, I want to give this up, or I want to at least do this less, is probably the initial thought.
And exactly. If
you do it less, or you give it up, what do you do with all that time now? How many hours a day do you think you spend gambling or thinking about gambling?
I'll be at work at the office, and I'll just be writing up parlays that I'm going to put in later. So I'd probably say 2 to 3 hours.
2 to 3 hours. And then are you watching the games when you play?
That's the thing. Like, I just want to check the scores. I don't even enjoy watching the games anymore. When I was a kid, like, watching sports was everything. It was awesome. But now I'm like, I don't want to watch it. I just want to check the outcome later.
Does it feel more like transactional now? Is that what it is? Like, just a thing to bet on?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I don't, like, I'll have like a couple teams for a parlay, throw like 400 on it. Mm-hmm. I won't watch any of them. I'll just check it later. And like you said, like, if it hits, business as it should be. That should happen. But if it loses, I'm like, what's wrong with me? I got to double down. Let's get the next one.
You're to a different point than a lot of people would be in your position. Because what a lot of people would probably say is, I love sports. I just don't watch them anymore because I'm trying to do so many bets. But you're saying, like, I don't even enjoy them anymore. Like, that's a point that is a tipping point to possibly make a change.
Absolutely. Because there was one night, it was like X Games on, and you can't bet on that. And I was just watching it. I was like, this is awesome. And I was like, holy shit. I need to make a change because, like, I love sports, but I can't watch them anymore because I have, like, too much stress and anxiety when it's back hall. I'm like, I can't watch this. It's rigged. But when you're watching it with no money, it's like, this is awesome. Like, these are athletes competing at the highest level.
So you actually would like to watch the games if you didn't have money on them?
Exactly, yeah.
Wow. That's very opposite to how I feel. Still, 2 years later, probably won't watch anything except a championship or like a playoff game.
Did you also have a thing where it was like, all right, I'm not going to bet today, and you didn't bet, and then the thing you would have bet hit, and it's in my opinion, it's a worse feeling.
Oh, it's the worst feeling for a problem gambler. I was giving a talk yesterday, and in the talk, I was talking about the March Madness of 2018 was the tipping point actually that turned my gambling really bad. And the reason that it happened was UMBC beat Virginia in the first round. It was a 16 seed beating a 1 seed. Yep, and I didn't gamble. Well, because I didn't put a bet in on it, I was so angry. Just looked at it after and I was like, oh, I should have known that was obvious. Like the 1 seed losing to the 16 seed. 2 days later, I put the money on UMBC to beat Kansas State. And they got smoked because they just had like a perfect game plan for Virginia. Numerous things happened that no one could ever predict. And they won. But it turned out they weren't that good. So they lost to the next team that they played. And I lost all the credit that I had with my bookie at the time. It's just not predictable. And that's one thing that I wanted to talk to you about as well. You had mentioned in the beginning of this that you would see patterns almost. You'd say this team is due, or this team's lost three in a row. So that means that it's like finally their time or something to that extent. Yeah. Do you feel like you see patterns when you're trying to gamble on sports?
Oh, absolutely. Like last night, UCLA was playing Oregon. Oregon's number 16. UCLA's unranked. They're at home, though. They were -5.5. I'm like, that's a trap line. They covered, but that doesn't always happen, which is where I'm starting to find the problem, because that pattern isn't always reliable. Mm-hmm. You know, so if it hits one time, I think it's going to continue and keep on hitting, so I'll double down. But that pattern is staggered, and it's not what I think it is.
You know what the real danger of those patterns is? Is it convinces you that you have control
over
something. 100%. Do you feel like you've wanted to have that control? Is that something you've like you feel comfortable within?
I'd say so, yeah.
It's me too.
I just want to say I want to beat the system, and I can't. Like, Vegas has those huge lights for a reason. You're not going to beat them.
Like, even the language you're using now, when you're trying to convince someone about the reality of gambling, it's really hard to get that point across without making them feel less than, like they've made a mistake or like they're a bad gambler. So it's very difficult to reach that conclusion. You're like, Vegas always beats us. We'll never win. Fact. It's a fact. But yeah, it's very hard to express that to someone who desperately doesn't want it to be true, right? Like if you were a year ago today and I came to you and I said, hey, Cole, you're not a good gambler. What do you think you would say to me?
Watch me win the next game.
Exactly. And so it puts us in this really difficult position where you have to get to a certain point, or at least see someone else get to a certain point, before you can even think about it being a problem, which is why I'm so happy that you're on here today and you're sharing this story, because someone might be watching this that's going to bet on the games tonight. They might see your video in this afternoon and think, maybe I shouldn't. You know,
it's back to the point where it's like, if I don't bet it and it hits, like it feels so much worse than if I lost. So it's almost like I'd rather live with the regret than regret to live.
It's, you always got to look at the bigger picture. You could go right now and you could win a bet. But by this time tomorrow, chances are you're not going to have that money, because you're not going to stop after that bet. Yeah, I sound corny saying it, but I like to say like all wins are future losses. Yeah, because every time you gamble, you're supposed to lose statistically, even though the gurus online will tell you like we're going to find an edge, you're going to be sharp, all these like bullshit things they say.
It's
mathematically, you're going to lose. So, you know, you've reached this point now where you're kind of dipping your toes into wanting to leave sports betting in the past. You said you haven't tried anything in the past to leave it behind?
I usually do a decent job after March Madness ends, where there's just like, I don't really fuck with the NBA like that. And regular season baseball, I'm not. There's too many games. The players don't care if they win or lose at that point. During those months, I'm pretty good. But as soon as that first August hits, week zero for college football, $2,000 right off the bat. It's how do I get good at not betting on the sports that I love?
Essentially, then, we're at this point where you know you're coming up on a couple of months where you're not going to be too tempted to keep this pattern going. You know there's going to be a gap of time. This is a really good thing because you can use this time to prepare for when the 1st of August rolls around. If the temptations are low, it's a good time to almost do like training, you know, of your own mind, of your routine. Do you think that you're a problem gambler?
100%.
Why?
Because I can't stop. Because it's the big numbers. It's not like, oh, I feel confident, I'll put $20. It's, oh, I feel confident, let's put $2,000. It's like, I'm 24. Those are two big numbers to put up at my age. I can't be doing that. Sure. I know I can't be doing it, but I can't stop. And that's what I'm like, this is a problem. You got to hop on a call.
So, I mean, there's two avenues here. The first is I tell you exactly what I did to quit and that I have to leave you with the implication you're never going to gamble again. It's the one that's going to leave you better off, but it's also the one that's the hardest to take the jump to. The second avenue is, do you think that you could gamble on games and bet less money and still feel satisfied by it?
I'm at the point where even $500 on a game doesn't satisfy me. So it's like if I hit those, great, but like it's not consistent. I can't keep that up forever. I'm going to be living out of a box if I keep doing that. So it's ultimately, I'm going to have to stop. But it's like right now, I can't see the end of the tunnel. Like how do I?
Well, I'm glad that you said that, because now we can go down the other path. Usually the hardest part is so there's this concept in addiction treatment called harm reduction. When it relates to drugs, when, you know, we're talking about something like heroin, switching to something like methadone allows them to kind of transition those physical feelings that they were getting and then begin to wean themselves off the drug. Gambling doesn't have that. So harm reduction in gambling, essentially, to take all the science out of it and just give you the straight truth, you tell people to go and try to bet less, they fail at it, and then they realize that they need to stop. It's basically harm reduction. But you've already skipped through that, so we're able to go down the path to recover. And there we go. So I want to lay out the four things that I did to leave gambling in the past, and then see if we can walk through them and see how it sounds to you. You had asked me before the call, like, at what point did I realize I needed to stop? And what it was that I had had about 8 months away from gambling, and then I had a relapse. And I was at a casino, and I had taken cash advances on my credit card, maxed it out. And I was walking around with like a stack of $100 bills rolled up in my pocket, no money clip, no rubber band or anything like that in the casino. I was drunk, and I was walking around during the day. And I went to the bathroom, and I tried to pull out my phone, and some money fell out of my pocket. And I picked it up and put it in my pocket, but I had this like fear. I was like, oh my God, if it fell out that easy, I probably dropped some somewhere else. And then, like, not even like 1 second later, I just burst into like laughter. It was like, oh, that is hilarious. Because if I did drop it somewhere else, you know, maybe someone will pick it up and like take it home. But if I didn't, I'm going to go and lose it in a couple minutes anyway. And so I had this thought of like, I would be better off, the world would be better off if I dropped this money, because I'm going to end up in the same position either way.
It's going to go to the casino one way or the other. Yeah,
exactly. And so I had that thought, and that's what finally like pushed me to pursue these four things that I've been doing ever since. And so the very first thing is, you have to find things to do with your time that otherwise you would have been spending gambling. And the sad part is that no matter what you pick in the beginning, it's going to suck. Because you're not getting that thrill of hitting a bet. Yeah. You're not getting that insane rush, but you have to plug in something with the time. So what do you do for fun other than gambling?
Usually just lift.
Lift? Okay. That'll take up some time. So doing some more lifting, doing more exercise is good. What did you do before you started gambling for fun?
At that point, I was a kid.
Sure. Hey, you're not that much older.
You're like playing in the backyard and stuff still. But then okay. I had like sports. So those took up the majority of the time, but I realized even at Lyft, I'm like, oh, we can live bet this. And it's like, because I don't need to watch. I don't like watching the game, so I'll just hit a couple sets and then check later. And it's like, that's what I got to cut out. Like, the gym is like a sacred place. Like, I can't be doing that.
Well, the later steps, we're going to have a solution for that. But when you were playing sports in your backyard, I assume you weren't doing it alone, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So you were hanging out with your friends. You're spending more time with them. Do you ever hang out with your friends nowadays and not talk about gambling?
Honestly, not really. It's usually just all sports. Like, oh, who you like tonight? What's the line? Yeah, let's take that.
Here's a challenge that arises now with gambling being online. A group called Gamblers Anonymous is like a support group for people who are trying to stop gambling. Their like recommendation is to not associate with other people who gamble. I think that's an impossible recommendation nowadays, because of the fact that everyone's gambling.
Even people that don't like sports are like, oh, you see the game, you see what the line is, you see who just scored the touchdown. It's like, how do you know this? You've never watched a game in your life.
Right. I think the only solution we have now is to try to create situations where we don't have to talk about gambling. And the way that I would think to do that in your case would be, hey, guys, do you want to come over and play basketball? Hey, guys, do you want to go for a lift? And just try to separate the situations, or even try to talk to some new people as well. And again, this is all like easy for me to say, hard for you to do. But at the end of the day, if they are aware that you're trying to stop gambling and they keep talking about gambling, they're probably not good friends. But if they're aware that you're trying to stop and then actively try to do other things with you, then those are your boys. Those are your good friends.
I got one of my boys. It's like, you need to relax. Like,
okay. Why? What have the conversations been like with him?
He's like, oh, what'd you put on this game? And I was like, I'll tell you after. He's like, did you put a stupid amount? I'm like, and then I sent him the slip. He's like, you need help. This is not normal. Mm-hmm. He's right. He's like, no 24-year-old should be betting like grands on a game.
When you hang out with him, what do you guys do?
We usually just watch sports. Play some Xbox sometimes.
Okay, hold on. Now we're cooking. Yeah, sorry, play Xbox. What do you guys play?
Usually COD and NCAA.
Are you gambling on the games when you're playing them?
No, I did that over COVID. That was a mistake.
If you're not gambling on the games when you're playing them, then that's a great alternative for the time. Maybe it means playing some more video games. Like, people think that when you quit gambling, you have to start meditating, going to the gym every day, eating like kale. I don't do any of that shit, man. I waste a lot of time, to be honest. I play Pokemon. Like, I just got the new Pokemon game on the Switch.
That's sick.
Yeah, but it's about keeping yourself busy. It doesn't mean that you have to do everything right all at once. It's about trying different things that aren't gambling until you find one that you're finding something.
There's been a couple times where I, like, not actively tried to quit, but I was like, I'm going to try to relax. And FanDuel and DraftKings are so good at that because they know when someone's trying to wane off. And all of a sudden, you'll get a profit boost token. When you were gambling, like, did you have those?
I can solve that for you with step number two, but it's a big jump and you got to be ready for it. Self-exclude from the casinos. Have you ever heard of self-exclusion?
I don't think so, no.
Self-exclusion is it's like legally mandated that all U.S. casinos have to be able to let you do this. And it is essentially telling them that you would like to remove yourself from play at their facility and their online book. So on FanDuel, there's a page called the Responsible Gambling page, which no one ever clicks on. And when you click on it, there is a thing called self-exclusion. And I believe in the state of Massachusetts, you have a state-based one. So you could just do this once and it fixes everything, or not fixes everything, but it makes it such that you can't gamble in any casino or online book. If you're truly ready to leave gambling behind, this is awesome, because when you self-exclude, they can't send you marketing materials anymore. Really? You will not get any messages because it's illegal. You are telling them, hey, I don't want to play here. So if they send you something, then it's entrapment. It's luring you back in. It's just illegal marketing.
So I didn't know that. That's a huge tip. Thank you. I definitely want to try that after the Super Bowl, because I'll be honest, I'm not going on the Black Diamond right off the bat. Like, me not betting on the Super Bowl is just unrealistic.
If I try to convince you not to do it, it's not going to work. You have to come to that on your own.
So
if you
know that. Realistically, after the Super Bowl is like where I could be like, okay, now we can start shifting. And like, I've noticed after the Super Bowl, or after like any championship event, FanDuel, the DraftKings, like, they give you a bunch of deposit matches and a bunch of profit boost tokens because they know there's really nothing else right now.
Well, it's that, but it's also the fact that single game betting events, like large scale events like that, the Super Bowl, March Madness is more than a single game, but college championship, those are games where people who are not typically like daily gamblers are gambling. So then they follow up immediately with offers because they're trying to capture more market share.
That makes more sense because they got a lot more eyes on their site right now.
Let's round out those four things. So the third thing that I did to stop gambling was I actually gave financial control to a family member, or at least financial oversight. And that one sucks, especially as like a 23, 24-year-old. Like, I think I was 23 at the time. I basically said, hey, mom, if I have access to this card, I'm probably going to gamble. I do all my gambling online, so like, I can't have this card. I need to carry cash. And she basically took the account. I would work, money would go in. I would say, I need $500 a week or whatever the cost was. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
And she handed it to me as cash and I would spend it on my bills, whatever I needed to. What do you think about that as a concept of someone seeing your account?
That's actually pretty genius because like you can hide how much you gamble so much online. Like you have $100 on a game, you can say, oh, I only got 10. If you don't show them the slip, they'll believe you. But I'm pretty open with my mom about it, honestly, because she's like, you should get some help. She's like, what do you have on this game? I was like, I don't want to tell you. And she's like, tell me. I was like, all right, I have like $1,500 on this game. And she was like, what the fuck? I have somebody in my life that would do that for me. So I've never heard of that concept. So that's definitely something when I get to that point that I'd be interested in.
Awesome. I mean, I took it like to an extreme, right? And not having it at all. If it's not something that you're thinking is realistic, or someone in the audience is thinking is realistic, it's like, having someone just watching your account can give you that extra fear, basically, of like, I don't want this person to find out, so I'm not going to do it. So yeah, financial oversight was a big one. And then the fourth thing and the final thing is like kind of what we're doing now. It's either therapy or support groups or both. So I had mentioned Gamblers Anonymous. And when I first tried to quit gambling, well, when I first did quit gambling, I went to a meeting. It was like in the basement of a church. And I walked in and there was these like 12 guys sitting around a table. They started talking. I heard things like I would go to the casino and I would eat steak and lobster. And then I'd come home with my wife and we would be using coupons to get 5 cents off a pack of hot dogs at the grocery store. And I was like, I think I'm in the right place. Something about that makes sense to me. I've been going pretty much every week that I've been able to since 2022.
That's good on you. That's really good.
But man, like going to one of those meetings, like it sounds like it's a big undertaking, but what it really is just a group of people who have all made terrible decisions that are talking about their terrible decisions and why they don't make them anymore. Then what's your plan before our next call? Tell me what's going to happen in between the Super Bowl and that call.
Because like this is almost like a competitive challenge. Like, can you stop? And like, I tend to do more well with like competitive. And so it's... Because it's almost like it's not just me. Like, because when I gamble, it only affects me. Like, no one's depending on me. With you, maybe an audience, like, it's more than me. It's bigger than myself. Like, can I show other people that I can stop so maybe I can help them stop as well?
If you're going to be sticking to that plan, then I promise you that by the time you come back on, this channel will have more subscribers. Smash that subscribe button if you're watching this video right now. And if you want to hear a story of someone who's entered recovery from a gambling addiction, then check out this video. Let's keep getting better together one day at a time.